Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a hot Monday afternoon, but hey, it's May 16th, so what do you expect? And you've heard in the forecast here in our news that there's a chance of some maybe big thunderstorms. Boy, there was some a lot of hail on the West Bank around Belchase and areas around Belchase yesterday. I mean, like just huge, huge hail. And that's not good. It still amazes me that hail, which is technically ice, falls from the sky in the summertime. But, you know, it's really cold up there. I mean, I remember flying back from Portland. I had the flight tracker on the monitor in front of me, my seat, and it was 61 degrees below zero at, 35,000 feet or wherever. So, yeah, it can be very cold up there. All right, so we're going to get back to talking about the Buffalo shooter, but more specifically talking about the hate in this country. And I think sometimes we try too hard to try to get rid of the hate or censor the hate, and I think we should do all we can to do that, but it's not going to go away. So I think we're better off spending time figuring out what we can do to deal with the hate. But first of all, I want to go back here. Now, Ian, so this conversation going on about Drew Brees maybe wanting to come back with the Saints,
Yeah. It
seems like this is based on the idea that Drew Brees made a comment, and we've got the story on our website, WWL.com. Drew Brees says that the Saints' acquisitions make him want to play again. Well, that doesn't mean he's going to play again, but it seems like that has generated a conversation about, oh, maybe Brees is coming back. And I think he's just saying, hey, man, I'd like to be part of that lineup because they've got a hell of a lineup, but it doesn't mean he's coming back.
Yeah, he's not said, I'm considering coming back. He just says, you know, the state of play is different than it was a year and a half or 2 years ago. I'd like to go play with these guys. I want to go play with Jarvis. I want to play with the Honey Badger. I guess I can't fault him for saying that.
No.
But also, he must know. He knows. He knows, and all his handlers know, that making a comment like that is going to generate a conversation about whether or not he's coming back to the Saints.
I guess so.
It cannot be an accident.
I think it's sad that just people put so much into that and make that leap, because that's a giant leap. And then I guess also being out at NBC, I guess some people are thinking, oh, he's out at NBC. He says he would like to play with this team, so maybe he's coming back. No, I don't expect Drew Brees to be coming back.
I think, you know, it was a short stint in television for him, but television is very much a club, especially like the sports broadcasting. Like, you know, it is like a club, and once you're in, you got to do what it takes to stay in the club. And if you've just lost your contract and you're moving on from the thing that you've been expected to do for a little while, you may enjoy giving out an interview where you generate some headlines about yourself, and then
maybe
those headlines beget more headlines, and suddenly your news is in the name and you're trending on Twitter, where 24 hours ago you may not have been, depending on what you chose to say or not say in that interview. So I don't know. It seems a little bit, I don't know, craven is too strong of a word, but it's just broadcasting, you know.
Yeah, I don't know that it was that calculated, but it might have been.
It might have been.
Look, I'm not taking that away from you. It might have been that calculated. But didn't you think Drew Brees did a good job with NBC?
I thought he did a nice job.
But looking back at it, I guess he just didn't have a big enough personality to make that the impact that would need to be made. in that situation.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're not taking anything away from Drew Brees by pointing out to like, hey, you know, it takes a certain kind of guy to be really right. successful on television. And just, you know, maybe that wasn't you, and that's okay. That's not a value judgment. Yeah. We're not here to tear you down about that. But you all, like, nobody should be surprised, I think, that he didn't turn into the next Troy Aikman or whatever, right. you know.
Yeah, so if you look at the people who do make it, you know, they've got big personalities. And, mm-hmm. and Drew Brees was great at analyzing the game, but maybe that didn't translate. And you know, they do a lot of research on the network level, and you know they poll the audience, and they show your performance to people, and they have a control group, and they just figure out whether or not, you know, you've got it or not. So maybe that's something that happened there. But I mean, I love Drew Brees, and I thought he did a good job, but I guess it wasn't quite enough. And now it looks like Sean Payton may be headed for Fox News. Now Sean Payton has a bigger personality than Brees when it comes to, I think, analyzing football.
Yeah, it turns out, like, when Peyton left the Saints organization, we got to see him kind of let his hair down proverbially a little bit. You remember he took several members of the Saints and local sports media out to dinner uptown, and the reports from that meeting were that after he stopped being the Saints head coach, he really kind of, not to say that he, like, let himself go,
right.
but he let himself be sort of jovial and lighthearted around other members of the media in a way that he had not been able to do when he was still the Saints head coach. And so maybe his path is leading him there where he says, oh, I can kind of let my own natural sense of humor and my yeah. own kind of personality spark be a more central part of what I do, be a more foundational part of my public presentation. And I know Drew Brees didn't quite get the same you know, genetic lottery results.
No, it's true. And again, like you said, it's not criticism of Drew Brees. It's just, okay, you know, not everybody can do everything. And it's, you know, I mean, I like to know that not everybody can do what we do or what they do. And, you know, not everybody is fit for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Art Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We're talking about the shooting in Buffalo, and we're talking about politicizing the shooting in Buffalo, and, you know, there are both sides do this, and it's really sad, but it's reality. And so as long as we're going to have this reality of this kind of hate and turning it into politics, let's figure out how to best deal with it. And I think one of the best things to do is to stop making it about politics. Liz Cheney was criticized by House GOP leadership for enabling white nationalism, white supremacy, and anti-Semitism. Did she really allow that? Is she to blame for this? And conservative analyst Anna Navarro criticized Tucker Carlson, Fox employees, for the financial and political gain they get from spreading racism. So can you say that Fox News and Tucker Carlson are spreading racism? They do pander to a certain aspect of the Republican Party. They do. I don't know that they're spreading racism, but there are people out there who want that. There are people out there. Look, I think the fact is people are racist. Not everybody, but a lot of people are racist. And there are media outlets that pander to that. There are conservative talk shows around the country that pander to that. There's an extreme faction within the Republican Party, and there are people catering to that. And I think that's why we see what we see. Let's go to Metairie. Frank, you're on WWL. Hey, Frank.
Good morning and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Look, you know, I listen to you time to time, and I listen to new. And, you know, I knew that this was going to come up today. And, you know, I was talking with some of my friends last night. I have white friends, black friends, Asian friends. And the common denominator we all came up with together was that between the news media and some of our leaders, elected and non-elected, they constantly push the race theory. They constantly
What theory
against each other?
What race? What do you mean, race theory?
Well, like for example, the report was on before, and they said the white shooter. But they didn't say anything about all the other people that got shot. What about all the black people that get shot every day? Nobody cares.
We talk about that. We talk about that all the time, Frank.
And we talk about that over the weekend. It's like everybody closes their eyes and don't see anything. And if you know, if I'm
I don't think that's I don't think that's
the right way.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I think this is a problem because we have political leadership in this city that doesn't want to address the real problem because the problem exists disproportionately in what they believe to be their base voters.
She's never going to do anything. I got a friend of mine I was just telling you about. I was with this weekend. He pays $12,000 a year in property tax. In the last month, it's cost him over $500 damage on his car trying to get to his house from the streets they've been working on forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like nobody cares.
Well,
I mean, I guess the only thing, like we said the other night, it's just going to be a bunch of ordinary people, all races, all colors, all creeds, get a bunch of picks, forks, and torches like the Frankenstein movie and get rid of all the people that really don't care about us, basically.
Well, I don't know how you're going to pick those people out. I mean, sometimes it's kind of obvious. They don't care about us. They care about getting elected. They care about getting reelected. Everything is done for the purpose of getting elected. That's the common denominator with politicians, and we see it all the time. And we keep electing them, so it's our fault as voters. Maybe not your fault or my fault, but it's our fault. Frank, I appreciate the call. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504-260-1870. Shootings here in New Orleans, dead people here in New Orleans. There were shootings all around the country. And it's not even summertime yet. And this is all predicted to get worse when it gets hotter. And when these kids are out of school. Actually, some kids actually go to school. So they have more time to shoot people when they're off. And this shooter in Buffalo just had this idea that black people were intrinsically bad and somehow a threat to him. And he's pushing this white nationalism BS. And he manifested that by killing blacks. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Stop using these tragic moments to push gun control because that's not what happened here. What happened here is a very hateful, racist person had a gun, illegally or not, I'm not really sure which, but it doesn't matter. He still did what he did. And there is, like, before we go any further, anyway, there's hate out there. Look, you know, when I was talking about Liz Cheney, it didn't sound right to me. And so I went back and I checked this. I've got it backwards. Liz Cheney is the one that criticized House Republican leadership for some messages sent via Twitter following the shooting in Buffalo. And the shooter left white supremacist messages that echoed the Great Replacement Theory. The Great Replacement Theory is a theory that blacks and Jews are getting your jobs. Blacks and Jews are controlling everything. The Great Replacement Theory, it's my understanding, is a reaction to this idea of equality, where whites and blacks are now sharing power. And Tucker Carlson spends a lot of time talking about this, and shame on him. But, Liz Cheney's one of those who, she is a completely different Republican from the extreme right. And what happens? She gets in trouble. But who gets her in trouble? The people on the far right. But they're inconsequential. There are not enough of them to elect presidents. So they may make a lot of noise and they may get on the news, but they don't amount to enough to control the country or to determine elections. But this Great Replacement Theory, this is scary stuff. And people are being brainwashed. And that's probably what happened to that 18-year-old thug punk who went to Buffalo. And you know, we're not going to stop that because he's 18 years old. And that is just another indication that there are new generations that are perpetrating this hate. And this idea that black people are bad because, well, we don't want to have to share anything. You know, if blacks or if gays or if women or whatever, if there's equality in this country, that's the way it's supposed to be. If there's equality in this country, it doesn't mean that you're losing your rights. Somebody can gain rights without you losing your rights. Now, everybody in this country should be treated equally, and we're not. And that's sad. Because this country was founded on this notion of equal opportunity. And equal opportunity doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. It means opportunity. But equal opportunity is for those who work to gain the opportunity. You have to do certain things in order to get the opportunity to do certain things. If you want opportunities, you have to go to school. That leads you to opportunities. You have the freedom to go to school. And if you don't, well, then that's on you. But this white nationalism and this great replacement theory is scary stuff. But there are people pushing this agenda. And there are people who are buying into it. And that seems to be a factor in what happened in Buffalo. Let's go to Ian Hoke with a couple of your text messages. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment.
United Kingdom, Australia, Germany, and Japan are all shining examples of effective gun control. There is no reason why citizens would need an automatic or semi-automatic weapon in their everyday life.
I get that, except that it's difficult to compare us to other countries because of the Constitution and because of the way things are here. We can't. We're different. You know, Canada is not far from us. It's just right across the border. There's Canada. Canada has a history of hunting. Canada has a history of gun use, guns. But their mentality is different when it comes to guns. And in America, we have come, again, not you or me, but as a nation, we have come to think of the gun as a way to instantly solve a problem. And that's not what the Second Amendment is about. Now, again, I compare this to the speedometer on my car says 150. I've never gone 150, but I like knowing that my car will go 150. There may be gun owners who are gun aficionados, and they want to own this automatic weapon or semi-automatic weapon, whatever. They want to own a weapon that, you know, you really don't need in your everyday life. They just want to own it because they're into guns. I'm not into guns, so I can't relate to that. But I like having a fast car, even though I know I can't legally go 150.
Here's a text that asks, you keep saying that it's the extreme wing of the Republican Party. Can you name the non-extreme ones who don't use these talking points or who don't support racist, sexist, and homophobic policies?
Yeah, or just mentioned Liz Cheney. Just mentioned Liz Cheney. Ben Sasse, senator from Nebraska. Adam Kinzinger. From Illinois? Yeah, from Illinois. These are moderate Republicans that constantly get drowned out by the extreme right. And I don't know why. I don't know why so much of America is giving so much credence to the far right. Because they're, in terms of deciding who wins elections, they're meaningless. I mean, just do the political math. So there are Republicans out there who do represent a less extreme stance, but they just don't seem to get attention.
Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, I got the helmet cam video of the Buffalo shooter. Unreal to watch that.
Did he have a helmet cam on?
Yeah, he was streaming the whole time.
Wow. I wasn't aware of that.
On Twitch.
Well, see, they're so proud of what they're doing. I mean, this guy is a hero. This guy's in the minds of the people he was streaming to. He's a hero. He's a hero to a lot of people. So in his mind, he's like this mega hero because of what he did. And I guess he's got some mental health issues because, obviously, the guy's not going to get out of jail. and he's not going to be able to do this again. But he doesn't care because he's going to jail with the idea that I did this. I am so proud of myself, and people are proud of me for doing this. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Hey, Janice, thanks for hanging on.
Well, I'm one person that's not proud of him for doing it. Let me tell you, unless the judicial system changes, this is not going to change. I was reading that last year a teacher asked him what his plans were after his graduation. And his reply was murder and suicide. Now, that would have been very shocking to me if I was the teacher, though. I might have gotten a grip on myself and found it in me to ask him, murder who? You know, just to see what he would say. There is no excuse for this, and that SOB should have gotten life in jail, and had he would not have killed 10 people the other day. Today, people get to do what they want. They want low bail. They want him out of jail. They say, oh, he's just crazy. No, he's a freaking hater. He's a freaking hater. And I don't mean freak. Fill in your own blank. He's just a hater. Yeah. And yes, there's hate on both sides. There certainly is. I've experienced it in my own life. I don't hate on people. I do not. I cannot say I don't like all black people because somebody did something one time to me, or some, you know, threatened me one time or something like that, or because my parents and I were held up years ago on Swegman's parking lot. No, those were bad actors, but they were very good people, decent, wonderful human beings of all colors, all races. And I have sense enough to know that. That's how I was raised. But this guy should have gotten what he deserved from the get-go. And if he'd been put in jail for doing that, for saying such an awful thing, he was a danger. It was clear that he was a danger to people. And he would not have been out free to do what he did. Our judicial system needs to change, but it's never going to change. Well, if I had my way, it would be a whiteboard with a line down the middle. Life on one side, death on the other, and I would make sure that I let these people, no matter who they are, adults, children, whoever they are, know. If you do this or that, and you get your day in court, you're going to have your trial, that's fair, but if you're found guilty, then that is going to be what you're going to get.
Well, I understand your point, Janice, and I appreciate your passion. I think that is part of the problem. But, you know, for somebody like this 18-year-old who went to this place in Buffalo to do this, his mind is tainted. His mind is poisoned. And I don't think he thinks about consequences. The guy is obviously rational enough to know right from wrong. And if he was streaming the whole thing live, he wanted people to see what he was doing because he was proud of himself. And he wanted to rally all those people around him that are proud of what he did. And there are people who are proud of what he did. That's what we need to address. Let's go to Metairie. Joseph, you're on WWL.
Yeah. Hello, Scoot?
Yeah.
I think a movie that really started to make me think about the human condition regarding where certain emotions originate from. Because you said it, you're not going to get rid of that thing called hate. It's going to be there. It's like scum on the pond. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Yeah.
It doesn't go away. Do you remember a movie called Enemy Mine? Louis Gossett was in it.
I remember the movie. It was a little sci-fi for me, so I never watched it.
Right. Right. It was, but it does finally tell you start to realize where they're going. Mm-hmm. Where do you get rid of the hate? How does it go away? And in the movie, the human god, I can't think of his name, the actor that played it, Louis Gossett played something called a Drac. Anyway, it takes place far in the future, you know, and it's between the human race and an alien race.
Yeah.
But in the movie, the human actor eventually adopts the offspring of his worst enemy, the Drac.
Wow, that's interesting.
And raises him as his own son. And eventually, it's love. It's love. He loves the offspring of his worst enemy, which is not even a human.
Yeah.
He loves the offspring like his own child.
Well, Joseph, it sounds like that's a good movie with a good message. The movie is Enemy Mine, and I remember the previews for it, but again, I'm not a sci-fi guy, so I probably passed it up for that reason. You know, it seems like with the Buffalo Shooter, there were signs, many signs, that he was going to do something. The White Supremacist Manifesto, the things that he'd said, and nobody took it that seriously. And that there may have been even a mental health issue in the past. And what happens is you've got different agencies that don't connect the dots. They don't talk to each other. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think this is part of the territorialism of bureaucracy. People try to say, this is my area right here. This is my area. But what we need to do is do a better job of all the agencies communicating with each other and connecting the dots, because sometimes that's not happening. And that's why these things, it's obvious looking back now, it's obvious this guy was a danger. If you want to join us, the Oaken Art Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. You know, last week we talked a lot about House Bill 813. And Republicans in the state of Louisiana, Republicans in the House in Baton Rouge, were forced to amend a bill to remove criminal penalties for women who have abortions. Why did they do that? They did that because of national pressure. They did that because state legislatures, and I don't know that we're going to get into this today, but it's a great topic. State legislatures are no longer allowed to do whatever they want to do for the people of their state. Every state legislature is now beholden to a national consciousness. And I like that because I think the state of Louisiana is really backwards in so many ways. That I like the idea that we can't just do whatever we want here in the state for the people of Louisiana, because the people of Louisiana, there are some people in Louisiana that want us to be just archaic and backwards. And there's so many examples of that. But anyway, I think it's interesting that states can no longer just do what they want for their own people. And it is so good that they removed that criminal penalty. Homicide for having an abortion? Some of you might agree with that, but that's not something that should be on the books, in my opinion. But think about it. Louisiana House Republicans amended that bill because of national consciousness. You can't hold a woman accountable for having an abortion to the point where it's murder. In your mind, it may be murder, but legally, it's not. And we'll see what happens with the Supreme Court and Roe v. Wade. I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be back on WWL. A very historic thing happened on this day on the SOT Rock Culture Calendar, May 16th, 1983. Michael Jackson did the moonwalk for the first time on the Motown 25th anniversary show. I was watching that. I saw that. Now, actually, here's the truth behind the story. Michael Jackson did not invent the moonwalk. I thought he did. It was invented by a guy named Jeffrey Daniel, who performed on Soul Train in 1979, and he says that he was brought in to teach it to Michael Jackson before the special. It's also known as the backslide. But this is the day that Michael Jackson made the moonwalk famous, performing on the Motown special in 1983. Let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, the far right is not irrelevant when it comes to politics. When local elections have a 10% voter turnout, it doesn't take that many people to change things. And these local elections are the ones that affect us the most. Voter apathy is a huge problem in this country.
Yeah, that's true. That's a legitimate point. But theoretically, when it comes to a presidential election, there are not enough people on the far right to elect somebody. And that's why it's important to show up to vote. And if you don't vote, well, you cause the problem.
Yep. Sit down. Shut up.
Seriously.
Not to put too fine a point on it. I have no tolerance for people who complain about things but don't vote. Here's a text that says, of the three moderate Republicans you just named, two of them are going to be unemployed come November, and all three of them were perfectly fine with the racism and hate in their party until Trump took the reins away from them.
Well, I don't know the history of them, so I don't know, but at least they stood up at some point and changed. You know, people change. And I, you know, somebody stands for something in the past and they change their mind. I pay more attention to what somebody believes today than what they believed in the past.
Here's a text that says, I'm really sad today. They had four mass shootings over the weekend. It's like we're living in a third world country. Everyone hates each other for some stupid reason. I don't see how you're going to stop this. How do we stop some nut from walking into a supermarket and shooting people? We have to do a better job of teaching family values, religious values, etc. You have to care about your fellow man or woman.
You know, and first you have to care about yourself. If you don't care about yourself, then you don't care about anybody else. And there are people who don't care about themselves. And I don't know how we stop a crazy person from going into a grocery store and shooting people. If that's what they want to do, how do we stop them? Maybe we could do a better job of looking for the signs before those things come up. Like mental health issues, things that people say, and, you know, they're not just saying it in a joking way about, I mean, look, somebody like this person in Buffalo, went to Buffalo, this person has a history of white supremacy. He's got a mental problem. White supremacy is a mental problem. It's a disorder. It's an irrational fear of blacks, Jews. And, you know, I'm a white guy, and I think it's disgusting. And I have no tolerance for it and don't understand it. Let's go to Lacombe and Ray. You're on WWL. Got time for a quick comment, Ray. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Scoot. There's a simple explanation for the Buffalo murders. It's called what you live with, you learn. What you learn, you become. What you become has consequences.
But couldn't it be, Ray, that his parents were different and they weren't like him and they didn't teach him and that he was rebelling on his own against his parents and against society?
He's 18 years old. He put together a 10 murder attack, and that just doesn't come easily. He has to have help doing that. He didn't sit down and do this by himself. He was possibly on the internet, but
sure.
This is what man has historically done to each other for millennia. We take prisoners, we take their wives, we put their kids in slavery. It's how we got ahead. Yeah. And then once we became civilized, that behavior was quote unquote outlawed.
Well, that's why I think
fear of the white supremacist over the black male during the age of slavery, because of what you said about black men and white women, carries a lot of weight. A lot of weight.
Well, you know, too bad. You know, I mean, if somebody's attracted to somebody and you don't like it, too bad. If they're white men with black women, if they're black men with white women, too bad. This is America. If you don't like it, you can leave. But this is America. And I'm seeing more and more that reflect biracial couples. And it's good. If you're on hold, hang on. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk about this church in Florida that is hosting an event. And they're going to feature a drag show, a church, a drag show. And they're going to actually do forbidden queer literature. Also, Kim Kardashian and Elon Musk's mom are on the cover of the swimsuit issue for Sports Illustrated. Can't wait to get to that. Hey, on this day in 1964, months after the Beatles arrived in America, this was the number one song in the country. And the other day, we talked about how Hello Dolly replaced the Beatles at number one. This song by Mary Wells, my guy, replaced Hello Dolly as the number one song in the country. So just months after the Beatles arrived, there were some others who were getting a lot of attention. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Very sad note on the SOTA rock culture calendar for today. It was on this day, May 16th, 1990. The creator of the Muppets, Jim Henson, passed away. He was only 53 years old. I enjoyed the Muppets. I especially like the two old guys in the balcony. The guys who make that's the Muppets, right? Yeah, always comment on stuff. But a very very creative show. Elton John, Julie Andrews, John Denver. Many of the superstars, Steven Tyler, that all appeared on the show. All right, we're not going to let the topic of hate or white nationalism or the great replacement theory or all of that stuff, we're not going to let that go. We'll save that for another day. But that conversation will continue when we need to have that conversation on this show. There's a church in Florida hosting an event for kids, and it features a drag show. The event will feature sessions on intersectionality, gender, dysphoria, and forbidden queer literature. This is at a church in Florida. Also, Kim Kardashian and Elon Musk's mom, Mae Musk, are on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Is Elon Musk's mom in a swimsuit? I'm okay with that. Hey, if she looks good, let her get in a swimsuit. I think we need to stop bashing older people who want to be sexy. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.